Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We've been getting so many visitors on Sunday mornings because we're suing the state of Colorado and the federal government regarding the coronavirus restrictions, but about the election and the lawsuits that are alleging electoral fraud, voter fraud. I hate it when the Democrats push me to defend the Republicans. I really hate that, and I'm not kidding. In today's show, I feel obliged to point out how much I hate it, but then also how Trump's lawsuits may be compelling. We'll go through some details of that, but first, a couple items. The Fox News Channel, right? We report, you decide. So that's superficial. Just like at the Wall Street Journal, where the editorial board is somewhat more conservative and the news side of the Wall Street Journal is much more liberal, so the same thing is true at Fox News. In fact, they had Shepard Smith there as an anchor for years, an open homosexual, and their news side is definitely leftist liberal compared to their opinion host like Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity. Well, you've probably seen this video, but I'd like you to hear it. It's so short. And this is just after Fox News called the election for Joe Biden, which is right now hotly contested. The media couldn't care less. The Democrats, they couldn't care less, even if it was shown that they actually did lose the election, but they got more votes because of voter fraud. They could not care less. But the Fox News Channel, they call the election for Joe Biden. And there is a Republican legislator, attorney, Cleta Mitchell, on. And Trace Gallagher is talking to her. And this Fox News host, Sandra Smith, you know what she looks like, blonde hair and, you know, typical, they're all like cookie cutter Fox News anchors. So she is beside herself. How dare a Republican, a guest, a conservative, how dare this woman, Cleta Mitchell, have the gall to challenge Fox News when they called the election for Joe Biden? Now, Fox News, they're not the authority in this issue. And so Sandra Smith, she thinks that she's off the screen. She doesn't realize that in the Fox News live telecast, she doesn't realize she is the full left 25% of the screen is her from top to bottom. And she doesn't realize her mic is going out live over the air. She thinks she's speaking to Trace Gallagher in his ear while he's talking to Cleta Mitchell. So we'll let you hear this, and maybe we'll play it a second time. It's very brief, and it begins with Cleta Mitchell, again, a Republican legislator, attorney, arguing that just because Fox News says that Joe Biden won the election, that doesn't mean that Joe Biden is the president. So let's hear this.
Just because CNN says, or even Fox News says that somebody's president doesn't make them president. So I think everybody wants to know that this was done properly and legally.
What is happening? Trace, we've called it.
What is happening?
Every one of these
Trace, we called it, Trace. We called it. How dare she not obey?
We report, you decide. The reality is, with the ego of the left, we report and we decide and you obey. You just obey. And Cleta Mitchell was one of eventually hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, millions. Now it appears tens of millions because Rasmussen did a poll And they've been relatively accurate through the years as compared to the mainstream media's polls. And Rasmussen said that in their poll conducted just, what, 1 day, 2 days ago, that less than 50% of the American people believe that Joe Biden fairly won the election. Less than 50%. How's that? More than 1 out of 10 Democrats think he did not fairly win the election. It really is stunning. Independents, I think it's 1 out of 4 independents think he was not fairly elected. And it's something like 7 out of 10 Republicans or higher think he was not fairly elected. So let's hear that just one more time. This is Fox News host Sandra Smith. When you look at her, talk about the evil eye. First, she looks like a devil woman. It's really hysterical. And then, how dare this woman disagree with us? How dare she?
Remember, just because CNN says, or even Fox News says that somebody's president doesn't make them president. So I think everybody wants to know that this was done properly and legally.
What is happening? Trace, we've called it.
And I think we have to look into every one of these concerns.
Yeah, and I think...
What is happening? Trace Gallagher. Trace, we called it. This woman is insane. We report, we decide, you shut up. So not only is it the Democrats that are pushing me to defend at least the Republicans in this election, that there does need to be a very careful judicial review of the election, and today we'll talk about mostly Michigan. It's not only the Democrats, it's the media. But of course, as everyone knows, that's redundant. The media is the Democratic Party, and getting the media, as we've said on the air for decades, getting the media saying, why doesn't the media expose the Democratic Party? That's like saying, why doesn't the Democratic Party expose the Democratic Party? It's the same thing. Conservatives, they report like, oh, look at this. We now have the proof that the media is biased. They've done segments like that 1,000 times over. It is somewhat bizarre. Now, I started this program saying that I hate it when the Democrats push me to defend the Republicans. So let me make 2 points about that. One, just the idea of hate itself. And as the pastor of Denver Bible Church saying, I hate it when I hate the left, I hate liberals, I despise Democrats. So if you say that, you're challenged, like we were by this gal from Canada just yesterday, Misty, who commented on our YouTube channel at our worst abortion video yet. It's got 113,000 views. It's only 2 minutes long. Worst abortion video yet. Intact living fetus. Don't just defund Planned Parenthood. Shut them down. Shut down the abortion industry. Don't fight to defund them. Fight to shut them down. And it's two totally different fights. And you could completely defund Planned Parenthood and not take a dent out of their revenue. Because every billionaire is their friend, practically. So Misty comments under our worst abortion video yet on our YouTube channel. Just go to kgov.com, where Bob and Yurt Live has our internet home. Click on the top right, our YouTube channel, and you'll see under abolition, abortion, personhood on that playlist, you'll see our worst abortion video yet. And Misty comments this. She says, Bob Enyart, you despise Democrats? Well, then be prepared to hate me too, because guess what? I lean on the left side of Canadian politics. Now, that's saying something. To be on the left side of Canadian politics? Wow. This is an evil woman. I lean on the left side of Canadian politics, and I'm pro-choice. Good day. With, I guess, a smiley thing, whatever that is. So I reply, Misty, sorry to hear that. Yes, I despise those who advocate killing the innocent. whether they target blacks, Jews, or babies, and those who rebel against God's enduring command, do not murder, also rebel against him and his command, do not commit adultery, by defending sexual immorality, and they rebel against him and his command, do not steal, by advocating for socialist policies. About the only thing left they can do to unmask themselves is to resume their cry, crucify him, crucify him. The reply to Misty from Canada. So before we get to the lawsuits over the election, and these are going to be fascinating. Apparently, in Michigan, how much time do you have to apply for an absentee ballot? Well, it's got to be months, right? For a period of many months, you could apply for an absentee ballot. Well, apparently in Michigan, 25,000 nursing home residents all applied for an absentee ballot on the same day. So how's that? Apparently, the software, the Dominion election software that switched in a single Michigan county the vote of 3,000 Republicans to Joe Biden, so they thereby created a 6,000 vote swing in just one irregularity. Some people call it a glitch, unless, of course, it was on purpose. And people involved in the election said this has never happened before, but a software vendor updated the software for the election the day before the election. How's that? The day before the counting of the votes in Michigan, they updated the software. Now, that's crazy. That's like you're getting on a plane to fly to Hawaii, and right before they take off from LAX, they change the software running the cockpit. How would you like that? And they don't even have time to test it. They just changed it. And that software is used in over half of the counties of Michigan and apparently also in about 27 states, including the battleground states. So in the other irregularities also in Michigan, the allegations in a currently filed lawsuit, I'd like to go through some of them. They are shocking. They are stunning. And we've known for decades, I mean, it's a joke that Democrats cheat in elections. Republicans do too. But with Republicans, it's been anecdotal, whereas with the Democrats, it's systematic. But I really do hate, I hate the Democrats for pushing me to defend the Republicans. And let me give you one example, just one example of why. I mean, we've laid out the case about Donald Trump. And if people don't understand that, well, you know, they could go to kgov.com/Trump and see the issues regarding do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, and how they relate to the Trump administration. But there's a lot of Christians who don't care about details like that. So something else. When I see the conservatives or the Christian right or the Republicans, no less, when I see them with their righteous indignation, how dare they not follow the Constitution? How dare they violate the Constitution? I realize that that is an act. That's not sincere. And I will make the case right now that that is not sincere. When you set aside God's authority and God's enduring commands, like do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, when you set aside that and you say we're a nation of laws, actually you are a lawless nation. And when you say our authority is the Constitution, and actually you've used that to trump God's enduring commands, his enduring commands, I don't mean the command that says do not wear clothing of mixed fabrics, because that was a symbolic ordinance for the nation of Israel. That was not a command for the whole world like we see in the Bible regarding murder and stealing and adultery and perjury, for example. And the Bible says, if you do not want to be ashamed, if you want to be a workman of God who is not ashamed, you have to rightly divide the word of truth. So if you use God's symbolic ordinances for Israel only, like what do you do when you're sick and you recover from your sickness, right? You bring two turtle doves. And you say, well, look at that. You bring two turtle doves. We don't do that today. Therefore, we could ignore all of God's law. That's false teaching. Because God gave commands that are enduring in their authority. They are the prevailing legal authority to this very moment and all over the world. And they include, do not murder. It doesn't matter what man's law says. If you intentionally kill the innocent, you're guilty of murder. And if you get away with it in this life, you will not in the next. And do not commit adultery and do not steal, which all welfare and socialist programs violate. And do not bear false witness, which includes committing perjury. So when a conservative Christian, Republican, libertarian who advocates that we have to make sure we abide by the Constitution, and I see all of their arguments as all hypocritical. They're all hypocrites. And the first way you know that is that they've actually set aside God's enduring commands, and instead of loyalty to him and to those, they have transferred their loyalty to the Constitution, the current Constitution. But you see, America has three primary founding documents. And although you could look them up anywhere, they're everywhere to be found. Conservatives only talk about two of them. They talk about the Declaration and one of our two constitutions. We have two constitutions. The Articles of Confederation from 1781 and the current U.S. Constitution from 1789, just 8 years later. So the current Constitution is itself unconstitutional. It violates the preamble, Article 6, Article 13, and the postscript of the Articles of Confederation, which took precedence. So this is why I say that conservatives are lying when they are indignant. How dare anyone violate the Constitution? I submit that conservatives, and it doesn't matter if it's Mark Levin or Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or Jay Sekulow, it doesn't matter. I submit that they couldn't care less what the Constitution says. They're just attempting to get their will, their political will. That's what I submit to you. So here's the evidence. All right, before we had the U.S. Constitution, 8 years later, we had the Articles of Confederation ratified March 1st, 1781. Preamble, Articles of Confederation and Perpetual Union between the states. So perpetual, even the public school teachers tuning in right now, they probably know what that means. Perpetual, never-ending union between the states, and then it lists them, of New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia. And it says, the title of this confederacy shall be, see if you've ever heard of this country before. This is Article 1. The title of this confederacy shall be the United States of America. You've heard of that? Article 13. The articles of this confederation shall be inviolably observed by every state, and the union shall be perpetual, nor shall any alteration at any time hereafter be made in any of them, unless such alteration be agreed to in a Congress of the United States, and be afterwards confirmed by the legislatures of every state. That never happened. Listen to this. Article 6. No two or more states shall enter into any treaty, confederation, or alliance, constitution, whatever between them, without the consent of the United States in Congress assembled. That never happened. If it happened, what was the date? What is the date that these things happened? These things never happened. The postscript of the Articles of Confederation, the articles thereof shall be inviolably observed by the states we respectively represent, and this union shall be perpetual, agreed to by Congress, 15 November 1777, in force after ratification by Maryland, 1 March 1781. So those things never happened, and it would be as though the Democrats today called for a constitutional convention and just introduced the third convention and said, okay, here's our third convention, and they get it ratified, but they totally violated the Constitution itself in order to supersede it with a new Constitution. There was a system, there was a set of rules they had to comply with, and they couldn't care less what those rules were because they were a bit too onerous. It would take too long. Maybe they couldn't even succeed if they followed the Constitution, the first one, the Articles of Confederation. So they just blew it off. So the Constitution itself is unconstitutional. And that's secondary. That's a secondary observation to the primary observation that those constitutionalists have set aside God's enduring commands, and they've transferred their loyalty from him and from his commands, his enduring commands, to a man-made document that itself is unconstitutional because it utterly violated, its very existence utterly violates the U.S. Constitution. The first, the Articles of Confederation, agreed to by Congress and in force after ratification by Maryland. So none of that matters at all. It's completely irrelevant. And all of the talking heads, whether they're libertarians through to conservative Christians, they use their feigned loyalty to the Constitution as a club to beat up their political enemies, but they have no more commitment to the Constitution than the left does. And for anyone who has been listening, maybe a new listener, and by the way, we just had somebody from Steamboat Springs send in a letter. I mean, nowadays, everything is PayPal and our store at kgov.com. But somebody actually sent a real letter with an envelope with a check of $100. Thank you so very much supporting us for suing the federal government, and that check payable to Denver Bible Church. That is so nice. Thank you very much. I don't want to give the person's name. Could I say Dell? Thank you, Dell. And by the way, for those who like to support the work of Denver Bible Church, where I am the pastor, that, of course, is tax deductible. Here on Bob and Yurt Live, what we do is in no way tax deductible. So the people who support this radio program at our store at kgov.com, however they do it, subscribing to our resources, our topical videos, the BEL televised classics, and so on, monthly automatic donations to the radio show, those gifts are not tax deductible. But when someone does need a deduction, they give to the church. And of course, the church, it's a bona fide church. And so that is tax deductible. By the way, we support abolishing the IRS itself, and also the 501c3 section of its code, that donations to churches and other nonprofits should not be tax deductible. But as long as those are the rules, it is not inherently immoral to follow those rules, because people wisely don't want to give the government more of their money than they need to, then many people will give and take a tax deduction. And for those who do that, to Denver Bible Church, thank you so very much. So that brings us to allegations that are already substantiated, at least by affidavits, notarized affidavits from people involved in the election, not only observers, but election workers. And the details of the allegations are serious. For example, and this is in one of the currently filed lawsuits in Michigan, ballots were counted. Ballots were systematically being counted, even though the voter's name did not appear on the official voter rolls. You know, where they try to keep observers far enough away so that they couldn't actually see what was happening. So that's one of the allegations. You get a ballot, and it doesn't matter whether the voter's name is on the rolls, they counted them. Election workers were ordered to not verify voters' signatures on absentee ballots. They were ordered to backdate absentee ballots and to process such ballots regardless of their validity. Now, these are all supported by notarized affidavits, including that one of an election worker who says, here's how the officials had us do this work. Election workers processed ballots that appeared after the election deadline, and they falsely reported that the ballots had been received prior to the November 3rd deadline. The defendants, and they include Wayne County, and that's Detroit, right? Detroit is the county seat of Wayne County. So the city of Detroit and the county, Wayne County, among the defendants, used false information to process ballots, such as using incorrect or false birthdays. A number of election workers were told to use the birthday of 1-1-1900 if there was no birthday where there should have been. So cheaters are not smart necessarily. I mean, murderers are especially bad problem solvers. And cheaters generally, they don't have any claim to being smart. They're just cheaters. Some are smart. Some are morons. All are cheaters. So many times, per affidavit, election workers inserted new names into the system and recorded new birth dates for these voters. Defendants coached voters to vote for Joe Biden and the Democratic Party. In other words, there are election workers who have signed affidavits saying that election judges themselves would go with voters to the voting booth and coach them on how to vote. Now, normally you would think, well, that's inconceivable, except that in the Democratic Party, cheating is systematic. It's systemic. It's ubiquitous around the country to differing degrees. But when you think you could get away with anything, you just do anything. Unsecured ballots would arrive not in sealed ballot boxes, but unsecured, with no chain of custody and without envelopes even. How's that? Defendants refused to record challenges, so when an election worker or an observer pointed out noncompliance with election law, rather than stopping and considering the accusation, the defendants, first of all, refused to record the challenge, even to acknowledge it, but they would remove the challengers from the site, even if they only politely voiced their challenge. So that all sounds completely plausible and consistent with the kind of democratic behavior that I've grown up with, observing, even in reports, even when judges are involved and new elections are ordered because of all the fraud over the decades, and even with all the jokes. And this is Bob Enyart. May God bless you.